Unfortunately, we didn't mention it a couple of weeks ago, but did you see that Billy Graham died on the 21st of February 2018? He was 99 years old. Did I ever tell you my favourite Billy Graham story? I'm going to tell it to you now. Okay, he came to do a mission in Europe in 1993. And the mission was shown by live satellite link at various locations around the UK. And I went along to hear him. And so I went to All Souls Church at Oxford Circus in London. And when I got back, I said to one of my sisters what I'd just done. And she said, "Oh, you didn't. You never." I might as well have said that I'd been out shoplifting for the afternoon. She was absolutely scandalized. But I can still remember to this day the story with which Billy Graham began the meeting. He said, "I was on an aeroplane one day in America, and another passenger came on board. He was American. This passenger was a very large man, and he was very, very drunk. And he was awfully rude to everyone around him. His foul-mouthed, coarse behavior offended and disgusted all those who were present. Eventually, in desperation, one of the flight attendants said to him, 'Don't you know that Billy Graham, the preacher, is sitting right behind you?' The man turned around and he said to me with a voice of unmistakable intoxication, 'Are you Billy Graham, the preacher?' 'I admitted that I was,' said Billy. 'Billy Graham,' said the man, 'I want to thank you. Your sermons have helped me enormously.'" The point is, be careful how you listen. That man on the aeroplane, he had heard Billy Graham, but he didn't seem to have heard rightly. He'd heard, but he hadn't put into practice what he had heard. This parable today is about hearing and responding to God's word. And please understand, as we sit here today, every one of us will enact this parable. Every one of us this very morning will prove the truth of what Jesus says. You're even doing it now. So he's traveling around proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. And to this very large crowd, he tells a parable. A parable is just a story with a meaning. And this is how it goes. There's a farmer, same farmer all through this story. He goes out to sow seed, same seed all through this story. And he scatters it here, he scatters it there, he scatters it indiscriminately. All that part of it is the same. The seed, the farmer, the sowing. But the thing that changes is the type of soil on which the seed lands. There are four types of soil onto which the seed is scattered. First, there is the path. Some seed falls on the path. There is no crop. It doesn't even start. The seed gets eaten straight away. Some seed falls on rocky ground. There is no crop. It starts to grow, but it quickly withers. Some seed falls among thorns. There is no crop. It starts to grow, but it gets choked quickly. Do you know, when we looked at this the other day, somebody actually said, "This is pathetic. This farmer is rubbish. 3/4 of the seed he sows produces nothing. This farmer should get a new job. He can't do it." Except look what happens when the seed falls on good soil. You might want to pick it up. Look at it. Verse 8. Verse 8, first reading. "Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. You see, the harvest from the good soil more than compensates for the disappointment of the bad soils. The harvest from the good soil is spectacular. But what does it all mean? Yeah? What does it mean? This large crowd that day, they all hear the story. They all hear it. But notice verse 9, only a few of them ask what it means. Verse 9, his disciples asked Jesus what this parable meant. You see, you've got this big crowd of people. They all hear, but only a few of them stay behind and they say, what does it mean? What does it mean? And Jesus loves the inquirer. Jesus loves to reveal himself to the genuine inquirer. And so we go to the second reading. And Jesus explains very precisely the meaning of the parable. Verse 11, the seed is the word of God. But I think he means something very precise here. He doesn't just mean the words in the Bible. He means the message of the kingdom of God, the gospel. How do you get right with God? How do you know whether your sins have been forgiven? How do you know how to get into the kingdom? How do you know whether you've got eternal life? That is the word which Jesus is proclaiming. That is the seed. Okay? Get that straight. So who is the farmer? Who is the farmer? Well, in this immediate context, the farmer is Jesus. Jesus sows the word. But of course, after him, the farmer comes to be any Christian who has ever sown the word. So you might be the farmer. I might be the farmer. I think about the two guys, two Australians, on a flight from Bali to Perth. They shared the gospel with me on that flight. They were sowing the seed. They were sowing the word. They were doing exactly like the farmer in this parable. Those two men, they sowed the good news of the kingdom of God very widely. They sowed it indiscriminately. They sowed it very generously. They didn't worry about the soil. And I'm guessing that I didn't look very promising as a piece of soil as I sat drinking my can of Foster's. But they just sowed the seed. So do you understand? We thought about the seed, we thought about the farmer, we thought about the scattering, and then we come to the soils, right? This is really important. This is where you and I fit into this parable. Each soil stands for a different type of person. The path is someone who hears the word, but it goes in one ear and it goes straight out the other ear. I guess a lot of people in the crowd that day were like the path. They actually heard the good news of the kingdom of God from Jesus Christ himself. Imagine that. And it went in one ear and straight out the other. I know the feeling. And they produced nothing. Their hearts were hard. The word is gone. They produced nothing. Secondly, the rocky ground. Those are people who hear the word with joy. And for a while they believe, but in the time of testing, in the time of difficulty, they fall away. They produce nothing. And then there's the thorny soil. And you know what, friends? That will be some of us this morning. People here who have been listening really hard and thinking, yeah, this makes sense. I can see what this might mean. And then we get outside. And we get to our work and our cares and our friends and our iPhones and all of that stuff just chokes out what we've heard and we do not grow. And we produce nothing. Nothing. Are you following? And then we get to the good soil. Verse 15. The seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Please, please, please understand something. The issue is not hearing. This parable I find really scary because all of the people in this parable hear. You could say all of the people in this parable are in church this morning. All of them come under the sound of the word of God. They all receive the seed. The issue is not the seed. The issue is not the farmer. The issue is not the scattering. The issue is the soil. The issue is the heart of the person who hears. And what is a noble and good heart? Well, you don't have to work it out because Jesus tells you immediately. It is the one, verse 15, who hears the word, retains the word, and by persevering produces a crop. The issue is the soil. The issue is with the person who hears. And we absolutely need to hear this. We absolutely need to know it. Because the message of the kingdom, the gospel message, is so often rejected. It is so often thrown out that we will be tempted to doubt it. We will be tempted to change it. We will be tempted to doubt the method and change it. But Jesus says, no, don't do that. Don't lose confidence in the word. The issue is with the soil. On the surface, the seed, the word, looks so unimpressive. 75% failure. But when God's word hits good soil, what looked like an absolutely ludicrous strategy turns out to be the very power of God to produce an outstanding result. Hearing demands a response. That's the point. And then just to press it home, Jesus goes on with this little story about the lamp. Verse 16. What's he saying? Do look with me. Verse 16. When it's dark, you light a lamp, don't you? When you've lit the lamp, what do you do with it? You put the lamp on a stand. You don't put it under the bed. If you put the lamp under the bed, it's absolutely useless. It's obvious, isn't it? You put the lamp on a stand so that you can see what's going on. Just so with Jesus. His teaching is not hidden under the bed. His teaching is not secret. It is a lamp on a stand to broadcast the truth about God. It's there to be seen. It's there to be understood. God's word goes out. It is not hidden. You see, the issue is not with the lamp. The lamp is doing exactly what it's meant to do. The issue is what we do with the light. The issue is how we respond to what we hear. So a couple of questions to finish with. Okay? You best wake up now and listen. What sort of soil are you? Sunday by Sunday, week by week, what do you do with what you hear? Someone has said, how we respond to the word of God is literally a matter of eternal consequence. You see, you can hear till the cows come home. You can be like that man on the aeroplane who listened to all of Billy Graham's sermons, but it didn't make one jot of difference. Even though he said they helped him enormously. If we don't hear with responsiveness and fruitfulness, we will find that even what we thought we had is snatched away. It will go. It will vanish. It will wither. It will be choked. And we'll have nothing to show for all those sermons that we have had to sit through. We'll have nothing to show for all those words that we thought we had heard. Is that you? Friends, it's very scary because as those very words leave my mouth, in our hearts we are enacting this parable. Cool, is that the time? I wish he'd get on with it. You, I, we are enacting this parable. As the words leave my mouth, what sort of soil are you? Are you hearing with the good and noble heart? Persevere and pray. Persevere and pray. Persevere and pray that you would be good soil. Secondly, what does a massive, superabundant crop look like? Because we're told good soil produces the crop. But what is the crop? Well, this parable doesn't actually say. And to be fair, you can't expect a little parable to tell you everything. But an awful lot of the rest of the Bible is giving you a picture of the Christian life.
And so at rock bottom, the crop is a life of increasing obedience and fruitfulness. So just a couple of verses later, Jesus' mother and his brothers turn up. Did you know Jesus had brothers? Okay, so they turn up. There's a big crowd, okay? They can't get through. Jesus doesn't say, oh, let them through, let them through. He doesn't say that at all. Jesus actually says, you know what? My mother and my brothers are those who hear God's word and then put it into practice. The crop is trusting Jesus enough to obey him. Not just when it's convenient, not just when it's easy, not just when everyone else will give you a pat on the back and say, oh, well done for doing that, that's great. Producing a crop means following Jesus even when it costs, even when it's lonely, even when it will put you on the wrong side of the argument. What else? What does producing a crop look like? It means growing the fruit of the Spirit in your life, in your heart, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When you've got all of those things going, then you've got a crop. Producing a crop is all that stuff we looked at a couple of weeks ago. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Producing a crop means dying to self and taking the nature of a servant. And that is the difference between saying, here are my gifts, kindly use them, and saying, what are your needs? Can I help? All of the above, all of that is what it looks like to produce this wonderful crop. Last question. What about the people around us? What sort of soil are the people around us? This parable says, never mind. Your job, my job, is not to worry about the soil. Your job, my job, is to sow the seed. You cannot see someone's heart. You cannot tell, I cannot tell what sort of soil they are. All the soil looks the same on the surface. That's the point, isn't it? We've just got to scatter the word. We've got to do it indiscriminately, like those two guys on that aeroplane from Bali to Perth. Just sow the seed. That is how God works. And part of the crop that we are to produce in our lives is all that stuff I've just said. But part of the crop is that we become sowers. We become farmers. We become scatterers, trusting that when the word hits good soil, there will be a crop that more than compensates for all the failures. Pray, persevere, be careful how you listen, and keep scattering the seed. All of us. Amen.